take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1. We'll start in start there with our references, James chapter 1. I read something this last week, and I just had to go home and try it. That worries my wife. I read that you can light a match, hold it up against a wall, and you will see the shadow of the matchstick, but you will not see the shadow of the flame itself, because light has no shadow. So at home when I tried it, I didn't tell her what I was doing, and she said, "Why are you holding a match up against the wall?" And I told her what I just told you, and she said, "Great." She said, "I can see the headlines now. Preacher's wife, a preacher's house burns down while showing wife sermon example." So, the point is, God is light. James chapter 1 and verse 17 will tell us every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. To which, if you'll turn a few pages over, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 will tell you, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." The character of God is like light. It's what we compare him to. No shadow, no darkness, nothing hidden. He is not a light. The Bible tells us that God is the light. He is light itself. When God created the universe, he overruled the darkness and chaos that was over the earth. He had only to speak, and light came into being. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness." When it says God is light, we take that to mean that he is perfect, unique, holy. Indeed, Moses would say in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4, "The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he." Such is the nature, the character, and the way of God. That's a good lesson to learn. But we extend that by saying that not only is God is light, but Jesus is light. And that makes sense. When he came to this earth, the Word himself, who had created the world and spoke light into existence, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, it is Jesus himself who says in John chapter 8 and verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." As we would expect with him being God in the flesh, there is no shifting of the rules. It's this way one year and next year we'll change that. There is always there's no hidden agendas. He's not going to manipulate you. There's no dark disqualifying secrets. He is perfect in life and purpose, unique as the Son of God and as the Son of Man, and dedicated as holy to God, as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And so if you'll join me in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, we'll hear this echoed over and over, and I appreciate Kevin's reading this morning, because in Hebrews, the same idea is brought forward. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." God is light. Jesus is therefore light, the perfect light. And I guess the whole idea is that the point of this message is that the world needs God's light. When a storm hits and the electricity is knocked out, we all run for the flashlights and the candles. With light, we can move through our houses, we can go down the street, we can face obstacles and see the path before us. With light, we can avoid painful accidents. Light is often associated with truth, and in that exposes whatever exists, both good and the bad. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, tells us, "For it is the light that brings a rich harvest of every kind of goodness, righteousness, and truth." Psalm 119:105 is it kind of, if you will, emblazoned on our memories when it says and reminds us, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's light, that essence of His perfect uniqueness, His purity through His word, helps us to see and understand far enough ahead to take steps forward, even if it's just one step at a time. The message I want to share with you today, because you knew God is light, you knew Jesus is light, you knew the world needed light. The message I want to share with you today is that you are God's light. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, it starts by saying, "You are the light of the world." I thought about this week because this was another one of my young people's class where I said, "Give me the word for the week." Last week it was tough. That was Brady's word. He had kind of had to live that out, didn't he? Bless his heart. But he's toughing it out and he's good. This week was light. So I thought about that as I was preparing for today, and I thought, what is it that I like about light? And there's a lot of things, but I just kind of gravitated toward three things. Light is cheerful. I thought about it. When I turn on the light, I smile. It is surprising, exposing things that I never wanted to see. And it is hopeful. And if you are the light of the world, you are those three things in a dark world. You are cheerful, you are surprising, and you are hopeful. Let's talk about that. God's people are cheerful people. The story is told about two wives that were doing their laundry at the laundromat, both of them mending the pants of their husbands. And the first one was sitting there, and she was sewing a patch on the pants, and she said, "My husband is so miserable. Nothing goes right at work. He can't find anything good on the television. Our home is in disrepair. When we go to church, the song leader is terrible and the preacher is an idiot." The woman sitting next to her, mending her husband's pants, who is her friend, she says, "You know what? My husband is so excited. He can't wait to go to church. He loves the sermons. We laugh all the time in our home and enjoy our family." It got very quiet in the laundry room. Two women, friends, mending the pants of their husbands. The first patching the seat. The second patching the knees. Proverbs 15, starting in verse 13, talks about a wise heart that seeks understanding and pursues knowledge, just like you do. The reason you're here today. The reason you do that every day. And the result, it says in Proverbs 13, in verse, the result is a cheerful face that finds a way to enjoy life. Add to that Proverbs 17 and verse 22. It says that a cheerful heart is good medicine for yourself and for others. I'm not going to kid you. We live in stressful times. We live where there are heavy decisions to make and heavy loads to bear. But this world, it needs some good medicine. We're not talking about being silly or cavalier or frivolous or being scoffers or being sarcastic. Zechariah chapter 8 says and teaches that seasons of celebrating joy and gladness come from a life that loves truth and peace. Paul, when standing before Felix, the governor, says in Acts 24 and verse 10, "I cheerfully make my defense." When we determine in our soul to love God's word and to bring His peace into everyday life, it not only shows on your face, it's seen in how we approach life, and ultimately it's just what the doctor ordered. People of God are a cheerful people. God's people are revealing people. Stay with me on this. When I was at school, and I hope you don't I'll be offended by this, I lived in an apartment. And the people below had an infestation of cockroaches. If you know anything about cockroaches, they get in the wall and they make their way up. I lived on the second floor. So at any one time, I would go in at night and flip on the light switch, and I guess there were hundreds of these little critters that would scurry for the baseboards, or they'd fly across the room. Well, we called the exterminator to take care of the problem. It was a real problem. There's a real problem in our world today. Our world is in a darkness. The scurrying sounds of evil and wickedness are real and dangerous. And we're here to turn the light on. And we'll be surprised at what we see. Every time I think I've been embarrassed or shamed, it's probably because somebody turned on the light and I was doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing. Paul says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, most of the things you do that are wrong, they're done at night because you hope people can't see. Having said that, we're here to turn the light on and call the one who takes care of the sin problem. Jesus made this point about himself in John chapter 3 after talking to Nicodemus, starting in verse 19. He says, and this is the judgment. Pretty simple. He says, you're going to be right or wrong on this. This is the judgment. The light is coming to the world, speaking of himself. And people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. We are that light, and our Savior is the solution. Knowing this, we read in Ephesians chapter 5, if I could expand on where I was earlier. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8, it says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. You show it for what it is, you avoid it, you point out what Jesus wants to do with it. God's people are a cheerful people. God's people are a revealing people. And God's people are a hope for people. They like savings times ends next weekend. It's that time of year when daylight is shortened. In the mornings when I go to feed the dog and I go out to the place where we keep his food, I have to keep the porch light on so I can try to navigate my way without stumbling and falling. But I always leave that porch light on because when I turn back to make my way back to the house, it's easier to see. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 continues by saying, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp, put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Christians often ask, what can we do for the Lord? Or why aren't we doing what everybody else is doing for the Lord? Let me tell you, from those two verses, this is what I see. You want to know what you can do? You can be the church, built by the Savior, shining the light of salvation into a dark world. We can be the family of faith, welcoming sinners home to Jesus. The second thing I see from that, though, is that we be intentional. You don't set a candle on a table just for decoration. Sure, it looks nice, might smell nice, but the purpose of the candle is to burn. Be intentional. If you're going to be a Christian, do it on purpose. And do it for the purpose of showing others the joy of Jesus in your life. And like I said, the purpose is to burn. Be on fire. Be on fire for Jesus. Isn't that the comparison God made on the day of Pentecost when it says in Acts chapter 2 that his Spirit appeared as tongues of fire? Get excited that you have another day to show people the love of God and the hope of heaven. Give your heart and your hands to seeing any way possible to make that message be at home in someone's life. D.L. Moody thundered and he said, we are told to let our light shine. And if it does, we don't need to tell anybody that it does. He says, lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine. Go out there and shine. We sing with the children. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let the devil blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine all the time, let it shine. The word for this week, as a Christian, is to go out there and be light. Light. But you have to be a part of the light for that to happen. And so we invite you to put Jesus on in baptism this morning so that you can be a part of the light of God and the light of Jesus to be a light to the world. We invite you to come forward and ask for prayer if your light has been snuffed out or you're living in darkness, and we can pray together and repent of sin. However, we can help you this morning. If you come to the front and make your need known, as together we stand and as we sing.